From HanselMinutes.com, it's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 305, recorded live Tuesday, February 7th, 2012. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik, providing the best in .NET tools and support. Online at www.telerik.com. In this episode, Scott talks with John Sonmez about MonoTouch and MonoTouch for Android.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes. And today, we're going to continue talking about mobile. We've got John Sonmez, who does a lot of videos for Pluralsight and a number of developer courses. John's blog is at simpleprogrammer.com, and he's actually teaching a course on MonoTouch and Mono for Android for developer focus. I want to talk to him about other ways that I can get my mobile device on as many platforms as possible. Thanks for coming on the show, John.
Hi, Scott. Thanks for having me.
So you've done a lot of these different things. You've done iOS and Android courses, and now you've been doing MonoTouch and Mono. So you've done both native mobile development as well as development on Mono.
Yeah, I kind of started out, you know, with an Android phone, starting out learning how to do Android development because I wanted to build something for that platform. And as I got into it, I started to realize that I should take this app to iPhone. And so I started down the path of learning Objective-C because at that time, really, that was really the only choice. This was kind of early on. And I learned Objective-C and got my app kind of ported just line by line from Java to iOS. And along that path, I ended up coming across MonoTouch and MonoDroid. And as those products have improved, I kind of started now doing some development in that area. And that really seems to play to my strengths as a developer. I'm primarily a .NET developer, and so I really like having Visual Studio, and especially for the Mono for Android, and I like having static languages and all of the kind of features in C Sharp.
When someone is picking a language like MonoTouch, or like last week we talked to a gentleman who picked PhoneGap, you're definitely floating above the raw hardware. You know, you're not writing the way that maybe Steve Jobs would want you to. Remember, there was all that discussion early on that the folks at Apple only wanted native applications, and then after a lot of pressure from the community, they pushed back. My question is, when you're writing something in MonoTouch or PhoneGap or something that is not straight Xcode, straight Objective-C, what are you missing out on?
Well, you know, that's a really good question. I think this is one of those things where you really have to weigh it. You have to think about the difference between the time that you're going to spend debugging and the time that you're going to save in using familiar APIs or being able to use a language that you're faster with or share that code. And really for MonoTouch and Mono for Android, it's not too difficult to do that debugging layer, but you're getting that code reuse. So I think, you know, ideally, I recommend this in all my Pluralsight videos, is I say, hey, look, before you go into MonoDroid and before you get into the MonoTouch, go and look at the iOS course, the basic Objective-C one. You don't have to learn Objective-C if you don't want to, but at least know it. And the same thing with Android and Java, because, you know, these platforms, I strongly believe the developers who created these platforms, they built it in Android, they built in Java and C, and in Objective, or in iOS, they have built in Objective-C. And so kind of all the paradigms and the patterns that exist in the architecture of these platforms are based on those languages, because language really does influence the way we code. If you know, look at Ruby today and how much that has changed a lot of coding styles. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's really important to understand that and then use the abstraction. Because when you just start with the abstraction, if something goes wrong, what are you going to do? You're not going to know where to look and what to do.
Okay, so let's talk about the abstraction. When you're doing MonoTouch, doing iPhone and iPad apps, and you're going to be using C Sharp, what do you need to get started with that? Am I doing this on a Mac? Am I doing this on a PC? What am I writing the code in? Walk me through it.
Okay. So right now, if you wanted to get started, you would definitely need a Mac Now, some people have tried to run Max in VM. I've tried it a little bit. I don't really recommend it. I mean, you can get into a Mac for not too expensive, and a lot of developers nowadays have Macs. So, you know, I always tell people, hey, just go on eBay, buy a used, you know, MacBook Air or whatever, or Mac Mini. And, if you don't like Mac development or whatever, you just resell it. What are you going to lose? Like $50, $100? So that's kind of your first step. You got
to
get.
So it doesn't have to be a fancy Mac.
No, in fact, I've got a MacBook Air that I use, and it runs fine on the MacBook Air. So you've got your Mac. You're going to need basically to have Xcode installed on there, because the way that MonoTouch works is it kind of fits itself into the application pipeline, the development pipeline. So it's actually going to use Xcode. So you get your Xcode installed, then you go out to Xamarin site, and then you're going to download the MonoTouch framework, and it kind of has a package installer that will get you like MonoDevelop, which is their IDE, and it will get you the SDK. And once you have that installed, you can pretty much just do file new project and hit run, and you're going to get, you know, a basic Hello World program that's going to work on your on the simulator.
So what's the, help me understand the relationship though between MonoDevelop and Xcode. I go into MonoDevelop, which is their kind of the Mono Visual Studio, and I hit F5, and it automatically just runs. Do I ever see Xcode?
So what's going to happen there is it's actually going to compile your code down to native ARM code. So it's a little bit different, like Mono for Android. We could talk about that a little bit later, but it's just to point out that it's different, that in the case of the iOS development, it's actually compiling it all the way down. And the reason why is because when you think about it, Objective-C is a superset of C. So you can basically interop directly with C, just like you can in C# right now. So that's really what they're doing in this case, is they're kind of wrapping these native libraries that are Objective-C libraries, which means they're C compatible. So you can platform invoke to access those. And so there's these wrapper layers, and you're really just programming against those wrapper layers. Now, that's for the kind of core of the application itself. But when you get into the UI part, that's where you kind of get into the Xcode part. And so, for example, your view, your UI that you create for your iOS application, if you were to edit that, you're going to edit that in Xcode. It's going to basically create an Xcode project for you automatically. And then that's where it's got kind of the hooks to hook into the UI, what's called the actions. And that will basically allow you to program against that model. So that's kind of the little piece that's got to be hooked in, is that UI part.
Okay, so you edit your views. It's kind of an MVC style, MVBM, right?
Exactly,
and
yep.
So your views are drawn, designed in Xcode, and then there's a code behind, as it were, or a controller that is managed in C#. Do you ever write any Objective-C at all?
No, actually, Xcode, or rather the MonoTouch framework, kind of builds a little bit of Objective-C for you that kind of wraps this. And this has changed between the versions of Xcode. With the newer version of Xcode, what will happen now is that because Interface Builder and Xcode, and Interface Builder was kind of the UI development tool for iOS and Mac, it kind of merged with Xcode. So it's in Xcode now. So because of that, it's going to basically create a new Xcode project. And then in that Xcode project, when you're editing the UI, it has to create a little Objective-C wrapper that basically hooks up your outlets and your actions. And your outlets and your actions are basically just your way of getting into that UI. It's like the action is kind of, you can think of that as an event, and the outlet, you can think of it as kind of a property that's exposed off of the UI.
Okay. And I understand that Apple doesn't allow interpreted or runtimes, you know, things that are compiled on the fly on the iPhone, and that's why we don't see things like Flash or Java on an iPhone. But MonoTouch, because it's fit itself into this kind of pipeline, as you say, they're doing a different kind of a JIT. They're, rather than just-in-time compiling on the phone itself, they're doing an ahead-of-time compilation So they're literally turning this C sharp into Objective-C in the background, aren't they?
Exactly, exactly. In fact, it's really even going lower than that because it's, remember, Objective-C and C have that relationship where Objective-C is a superset of C. So really what it's doing is it's compiling directly against the C libraries in that case. So you're getting real ARM assembly code as an output. And you got to kind of keep that in mind. I haven't run into that problem very much when I've been working with Monotouch, but there are certain things you're not going to be able to do because you're not going to have a VM that you're running inside of.
Well, and that kind of that idea that there could be things that I might not be able to do is what I want to understand. If I choose a layer of abstraction, you know, inevitably there's something that I'm going to miss. Does this feel like you're running like Java? And I use Java not as the language, but in that idea that, you know, you can write lots of apps in Java, you can write applets that run anywhere, but they never quite feel like their feet are touching the ground, if you know what I'm saying?
Right, exactly, yeah. This doesn't feel like that. I think that's one of the things. When I was very opposed to the idea of Monotouch and Mono for Android when it first came out, and I was really saying, okay, you know, I'm going to build my Android application in Java and I'm going to do my iOS application in Objective-C. But as the products matured and as I started actually using them, I realized that it doesn't have that bad taste. I know exactly what you're describing with the Java app. Instead, it feels a little bit more clean. It's a little bit more polished. Now, especially the Mono Touch. The Mono for Android is a little bit slower, a little bit clunkier because of the emulator really is the pain point. But Monotouch really feels smooth, and it really it's pretty seamless in writing your C sharp code and having it just run on the simulator. You don't really feel like it almost feels like it was made for that platform.
Does it feel like put it in the context of someone who maybe doesn't have a Mac? Does it feel like WinForms or WPF or something else?
It depends on, you know, it feels a little bit like something else because you're using Mono Develop and it depends. Like normally for Monotouch, you're going to need to use Mono Develop. You can try and get Visual Studio 2010 working with Monotouch. I've been able to do that, and you know, I want to say there's some limitations here before I don't want to just say you can use Visual Studio 2010. You have to do a few kind of hacks. It's not the easiest thing to get going, and you can build your project in Visual Studio 2010. So you can have ReSharper and all that, but you're not going to be able to run it. So you can compile, you know, you can do your development. And then when you want to run, what I did is I just set up a Dropbox and I just synced the files over to my Mac. And then I just, you know, hit F5 on my Mac and got the simulator running on there. So I kind of have, I kind of gave myself the whole environment and feeling that I'm used to. So for me, it feels like just developing any C# application, any .NET application, except that when I want to run it, I just hit F5 on my Mac.
Now, I just want to make sure that people, are you sure that you want to sell people that? I mean, I guess what I'm saying is like, I don't necessarily, I want to know if you think that we should recommend to the listener that a good solution is Dropbox, a Mac, Visual Studio, and that seems kind of kludgy, don't you think? I mean, why wouldn't I just use Mono Develop and stay on the Mac while I'm doing my iPhone development? Did you want Visual Studio so badly that you would set up that kind of system?
For me, it was ReSharper. I like ReSharper a lot. So, but Mono Develop is really a good tool. I mean, especially if you're more familiar with the Mac, for myself, I feel like I have, you know, have hands full of thumbs when I'm using a Mac because I can't get around in it. And so I kind of tend to, but, you know, definitely the easier thing to do is Mono Develop. If you can work on a Mac and you can work with Mono Develop, that's going to be far easier to do rather than trying to set up this complex, scheme to be able to just be able to get into Visual Studio 2010.
Okay. Well, I think the point I heard you make, though, is that if there's a text editor or an IDE that you just can't live without, there are ways to figure out how to hook that into your workflow. I mean, ultimately, we're just editing code. So in this case, you're able to use ReSharper to do some refactorings and stuff like that, even though you don't have, they're just looking at the symbols, basically.
Exactly.
Okay.
And one thing also that you can do that's not a hack and is not kludgy, and what I'm kind of doing at the company that I'm working for now, Trackabout, I've been working on a mobile app, kind of a prototype for them to basically build it in MonoTouch and Mono for Android and possibly Windows Phone 7 at the same time using kind of reusing this code. And so what I've done is I've kind of created this core library, and this core library is not platform specific. It makes web service calls. It does a lot of the logic. It has some controllers in here that expose an interface that has to be implemented by Android, by iOS, by Windows Phone 7. And I can put probably about 90, maybe somewhere between 90 to 95% of the code in there. And then, and I'm developing that in Visual Studio, and there's no hacks or kludges there. And then for each one of the platforms, I just have this little piece where I'm basically just what are the native calls that are different on the platforms, and then I'm just creating the UIs.
Now, I know that on Visual Studio, sometimes making a library that is quote unquote portable can be difficult. But I understand that Visual Studio Gallery recently released, I think last summer, something called the Portable Library Tools. Are you using those?
I'm not familiar with those.
They're called the Portable Library Tools, and it's a Visual Studio add-in so that you can, say, file new project and get, rather than a choice for a class library, you get a portable class library. And then you can, you know, kind of stop making build scripts with defines and having, basically it's a library that you can reference from anywhere. Reference it from Silverlight or XNA or Windows Phone. And allowing you to share APIs and things across base classes to make sure that the code that you're writing will be portable across as many projects as possible. Maybe that would be something that you could potentially use in your creation of this kind of shared mono library.
Okay, yeah, that does sound interesting. I'll have to look into that. But I think that, I mean, because that's exactly what I'm trying to do, is basically to share this single project across them all.
Interesting. So I understand that when I look at the MonoTouch tutorials, and I see a lot of, table view controller, table delegate, UI cell, data source. It seems like when I look at what I would have thought of as of a controller, it really seems littered with view and data source specific code. It doesn't seem like a controller in the way I'm used to from a kind of a single responsibility principle. Like it seems like we're creating table cells and table rows inside of the controller. Almost like the controller isn't a controller at all. It's a view code behind. Am I understanding this wrong?
No, you've got it exactly right. And this is one thing that I always tell people when they're asking about iOS development or just the Mac world in general, is it's to me, when I look at Mac development, when I was first exposed to it, it was like, you know, those movies you see or television shows where it's like a parallel universe and they've got like this awesome technology that's advanced beyond what we have, but they're using like bow and arrows or it's like some weird, they're advanced in one area, but some area that we take for granted is it went a totally different path of evolution. That's kind of how Mac development went. And I'm not trying to be offensive to Mac developers, but they evolved their patterns differently because they've been working in isolation. All of a sudden, all these .NET developers came, you know, running into their courtyard, and now we're kind of confused because we don't understand this paradigm. And so I think that's really, really what's going on. A lot of things you're going to see, a lot of weird things that just don't make sense from kind of the Java and .NET world, but make perfect sense in the Mac world. And some of that's language, some of it's just the way that the different way that names mean different things in the frame of reference of a Mac developer. And some of it, you know, I just plain don't agree with, but there's kind of this mix here, and it's just, you have to realize that you're going into a different world.
Yeah. It's almost like there's like an evil Spock with a goatee, except I'm not really sure if that's them or us.
Right. Yeah.
I haven't been able to quite figure out if that's okay. I mean, they are effectively generating views. I mean, it almost feels like web forms. like when you're dealing with a server-side table in web forms and you can get a hold of the table and you start giving it rows. I mean, in Mono Touch, you're going to create like UI table view cells and like send them back. Like you're building up this tree of the table, and it's happening in what they call the controller. But I assume that's not Mono Touch's fault. That's just how things are done on the iPhone.
Exactly. And really, MonoTouch makes some of these things a little bit nicer. In a lot of Objective-C and a lot of the native development for iOS, you would have what's a delegate pattern, which is different than the delegate pattern that I think we're used to in .NET world. But basically, you would create a class that would act as a delegate, and then you would provide implementation for some functionality in that delegate. In MonoTouch, you actually can just do plus equal, and then put a lambda there instead. And that is just so much nicer and so much easier. Instead of creating this whole class and understanding this whole different paradigm. Now, in some places, you're not going to be able to do that. I think in the tables, you do actually have to go in and create the cell. And there's some reasoning for this. I mean, it's not just totally crazy. Some of it is, for example, when you're creating a table cell in a table in iOS, you're considering whether or not you can reuse that cell. And so it's kind of an efficiency thing, because the first thing you do is you check to see, is this cell already existing, or do I need to create a new cell, or can I reuse a cell that scrolled off the screen? And so that's, from an efficiency standpoint, that makes a little bit of sense. But I agree with you, it could be somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get a sense of, there's the language idioms that I'm bringing with me, in the sense of I can come over from .NET and start using link to XML. Which is amazing, right? I mean, like, the kind of manipulation and management of angle brackets and curly braces, I think, from with the code that I've seen, is definitely superior. Like, the amount of work it takes to go off and, like, get an RSS feed and parse it is utterly trivial in MonoTouch.
Oh, yeah.
So I get to bring that really, those cool C-sharp idioms over. But then, because remember, I'm using MonoTouch because I like C-sharp so much, right? I mean, you wouldn't do it for any other reason. Like, but then you get that abstraction on the language side, but you don't get any kind of abstraction on the UI side. You're still having to use the underlying UI abstractions that were decided upon by the iOS. So they choose to hide some things, and then they choose not to hide other things.
Yeah, I think really, you know, that's a really good point, because, and I think this is the fundamental difference. I've also created a PhoneGap app that I'm working on, and it's kind of, how do you choose which thing to do? And really, you have the three choices, really. You have native, and you've got the MonoTouch and Mono for Android type of thing. And then you've got the PhoneGap, where you're totally going into the HTML5. And really, what you're getting for the MonoTouch and the Mono for Android is you're getting the language, and you're getting some reuse of some core library of the language itself, but you're keeping the API of the native platform. So if you're developing a iOS application, it's a double-edged sword, because it's good and it's bad. On the good side, I can go out to any documentation on iOS, and I can look and I can see that it's in Objective-C, but it's going to be the same API. So I can kind of translate that. And even if I don't really know Objective-C, I can say, oh, look, okay, they're making this call here. Okay, that's, I can copy that example and just write it in C#. But on the other hand, I'm having to know those APIs. So when I go to Android and try to do my Mono for Android application, it's a totally different way of doing something, even though I'm using the same language. And I think, you know, when you step it up to the PhoneGap, you get further away. You're at a higher level of abstraction. So now you can do it all in HTML5 and JavaScript and whatnot. But you really have, you're really shielded from any of the platform's API. And so again, that it depends. It could be good and it could be bad, but you just have to kind of recognize I guess really the question that you have to ask yourself when choosing is what level of abstraction do I want?
Right. And what are the trade-offs? There's language abstraction, there's UI abstraction, there's idiomatic abstraction. So that's the next question I was going to ask. As you move over to Android and using Mono on Android, you get all of the the C-sharp stuff that you like. I assume I can still go and use link and link to XML, and I can call out via HTTP using techniques that I'm used to using in C-sharp in the base class library, right?
Right, exactly. In the base class library, one thing to note is that you can't just take any DLL and use it because it has to be compiled in for Mono.
Okay. But the way that I'm going to create the UI is not something that they abstract away. And this is both kind of the strength and the weakness of the system in the sense that it's going to look exactly like a native Android app or an iPhone app, but you're not going to get any help in the creating of the UI.
Exactly. You're going to, in fact, when I create a UI for my Mono for Android application, even though I'm developing with the Visual Studio plugin for Mono for Android, I fire up Eclipse and I open up the Android tools in Eclipse and I edit the UI in there because they have a UI editing tool that's fairly nice and I can kind of see it. It's a kind of a WYSIWYG editor. So I can see as I'm manipulating the XML, quickly look and see what the UI looks like. So yeah, you're definitely designing the UI. And again, I think you said it exactly right, which is it depends. It could be good. I mean, you're going to get a truly native UI, but at the same time, you're going to need to know both of these UI paradigms.
And is it worth it, though? I mean, what is the benefit of me just, you know, doing this versus just learning iOS and learning Android and writing the mobile apps myself from scratch both times?
So I think there's a big benefit between those two choices. So if I were giving someone guidance, if they said, okay, I want to get into mobile development, I know I'm going to need to support Android and iOS, my advice to them would be, learn a little bit, do a little bit of research on iOS, on Objective-C, on Android development, just to have a knowledge to get started with those. Maybe create a very simple app, then go straight to the Mono stuff, because it's just so much easier to use C-sharp and to have Lambdas and to have the base class library. I've implemented OAuth in both, or an OAuth client in both Android and iOS. And I posted a little bit about this in one of my blog posts. And it's a pain in the butt trying to parse XML and to do this kind of stuff in both of these platforms. Whereas in C#, it's so easy to do this. And so there's so many areas like that where it's so much easier to do these things in C# that you're going to get a huge benefit. And those parts of the code base, you can even abstract away and reuse in a library. So I'd really, for me, I see a lot of value there in just being able to share that code and to be able to use the power of the .NET framework and C#. But you still kind of have to know. I mean, if you're going to need to know the platforms anyway, so you're going to need to know how to develop a UI in iOS and you're going to need to develop a UI in Android, then once you've taken the time to learn that, you might as well use Mono Touch and get the benefits that you're going to get for that.
And so someone is going to need to learn the paradigms and how, you know, the UI guidelines of the system that they're going to be building for. Otherwise, right, the app's going to look like a Java app. It's going to look like an app that's sitting on top of iPhone and Android and feels like neither.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, to some degree, a lot of that's going to be done for you. For example, it's kind of hard to build an iOS application that doesn't look like an iOS application. I think Apple's done a really good job in making it so that when you drag and drop controls onto the builder tool, and they actually have a really good drag and drop tool in Xcode, that it looks like an iPhone app. It's very hard. In fact, for one of my apps that I wrote, Pacemaker, it's a running app that gives you your pace while you're running and helps you to set a pace. I had to really work hard to make my UI look like the Android UI, to make it not look like an iPhone UI, because I wanted it to look the same when someone opened it up in both an Android and an iOS. On Android, it's a little bit more Wild West, I'd say. You see a lot more different kinds of UIs. There's not really an Android-y UI. I think, you know, Android or Google just released some UI guidelines recently, I think with 4.0, that aren't really being followed yet. So maybe we'll see kind of that kind of come together. But for now, really, you don't really have to worry on the Android side, and on iOS, it's not hard to develop.
Do you think that for the .NET developer, like unquestionably, that this is the best way to go and jump into doing development on Android or iOS?
I think the other choice is really the phone gap that I know you talked about last episode. And I've worked with phone gap some recently as well. And so I think you have to choose between these two. And in fact, the company that I'm working for, we're choosing right now. We're trying to decide between phone gap and the mono tools. And really it's a difficult choice because it depends on what you're going to do and how much abstraction you're willing to bear and how many platforms you need to support. So if you're iOS and Android and you're pretty sure that those are the main two platforms that you're going to support, then I would probably lean towards the MonoTouch and Mono for Android if you want to have a really snazzy application that's going to really feel like the native app. If you're creating an app that's kind of geared more like it could be a web page, like a mobile web page, and maybe you're just making some REST-based calls, maybe you're doing some real simple things, like it's a data storage app or something just to interact with the site, and it doesn't really matter, the UI experience is not so important, then using something like PhoneGap and jQuery Mobile or Sensa or one of the UI mobile UI frameworks would be perfectly fine.
Very cool. And do you have your blog is at simpleprogrammer.com. Do you talk about mobile development up there?
I've got some posts there. I've got posts on, I think, on doing OAuth, which was one of the kind of challenging things in REST for both Android and iOS. And, you know, most of my time now is being spent on the mobile development side on the Pluralsight training. So I do have most of my content is course, but occasionally I do post on the subjects.
All right, well, cool. John, thanks a lot for chatting with me. Thanks a lot for chatting with me today.
Yeah, no problem. Glad to talk to you.
And we'll add links to MonoTouch and Mono on the Droid, and you can check out John's blog at simpleprogrammer.com. We'll put all those links in the show notes, and of course, if any of the listeners have any other ideas, please do post those in the comments on the Hansel Minutes site. This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes. We'll see you again next week.